Franklin McNeil from the Star Ledger. How you guys doing?
Congratulations, bro.
Good, man. Good. What's going on?
Okay. Hey, my first question is for Chris. Chris, you're coming off another tough fight with Bart. Will that fight in any way, and also the fact that that Ryan hasn't fought in, what, 6 months or so, close to 6 months, how has that fight, another tough fight with Bart, how will that impact you in this fight? Will that be a good thing for you, or are you healthy? I guess what I should say.
Oh, exactly. I'm pretty fortunate after that fight. It was such a battle, and I came out, you know, pretty scratch free. No injuries, serious injuries. So really the most important thing right now is just maintaining that, keeping injury free, and making sure I'm healthy, and not overdoing it, because I'm already in great shape and I was already ready to go. So it's just maintenance and, you know, just pushing past that barrier a little bit. But I think it's going to really benefit me, just because I'm so ready. And, you know, December 29th is going to be a big, big day for myself.
Right now, recently you and I were going to meet in New York, but you came down with a cold. How are you feeling physically?
I feel good now. I just, I got a little sick for a few days. I didn't want to take that risk for, a five and a half hour flight from coast to coast. That was a little too risky to be caught in an airtight airplane. So, and I play it safe. You know, I take this seriously, and I'd love to be there, guys. But my health, I had to take that take that into consideration.
Now you're coming off your last fight with Ryan. You did stop him. Have you looked at any of his fights since then? Or do you expect much of the same? Do you expect him to be pretty much the same fighter you faced before?
Well, you know, he's had a few different fights in between our first one and, someone on the winning side and someone on the losing side. He's taken some big hits, but he's also been in some wars. But Ryan's tough. His game, he's a Team Quest fighter. His game is pretty, you can read it. They're all tough. They're all scrappy. They're going to come in shape and prepared. But I think that, my skills and my technique, I'll come out on top that night for sure.
Okay, I have one question for Jay. Are you there?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? Hey.
Good, good.
I look at your fight with Delson, and the first thing I think about is both of you guys are solid on the ground. You with your wrestling skill, and obviously he with Henzo's jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu style. But when I think of the difference between you two is your stand-up, especially your boxing. Do you think that could be a factor in this fight or the difference in this fight, or do you think this fight will be decided on the ground anyway?
Yeah, without a doubt, man. I think my striking is, a level above his, and, that's the game plan, man. Try to keep it standing and outstrike him. I've wrestled my whole life, so I definitely think I have the ability to keep it on the feet. And if it does go to the ground, I'm prepared for that, too. So, definitely keep it standing. Game plan.
Your hand is raised. Please ask your question when prompted. Press the pound sign to lower your hand.
Do you think fighting so close to home will benefit you? I know he fights for New York, the New York team, but he doesn't really live in, spend that much time in New York. But you're from here. Do you think that'll give you, obviously you'll have a lot of fans, but do you think that'll be an advantage in any kind of way?
Yeah, without a doubt, man. I'm from New York, born and raised. I live on the West Coast. I still got the New York accent. So I'm gonna be in there, and I'm gonna have half the crowd for me in there, man. Either half or the whole crowd for me. So, I think it's an advantage for me. I'm gonna fight my ass off, man.
Okay, thank you, guys. I'll let someone else ask questions.
Hey, thanks a lot, bro.
Okay, now.
Cool. Thank you,
Franklin. Thank you. Appreciate it. Ready for the next question?
Oh yeah. Hey, this is Doug at Ultimate Grappling. Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it. I wanted to start with Chris. In general, prior to a fight, does doubt ever cross your mind?
Doubt?
Yes.
No. You got to really become confident. in what you're doing, or you have no place being in there in that ring. I really take, you know, the preparation seriously, and I think that's where my confidence comes from. It's that, and you know, the training leading up to the fight. I try to make sure I enjoy the experience and I get the most from it. And that's why, you know, I'm really, you know, confident and I enjoy the experience.
Okay. Can you take me through the final hour before the fight? What goes through your mind? What are you thinking about just before the fight actually begins?
Really relaxed. And, you know, that final hour, it's just making sure you get a good preparation. You know, you have your game plan set up, and really you're just going to work. You know, you've been there before many times in the gym in previous competition, and you know, you're just going to town. You know, getting a good warm up and maintaining a sweat, and you know, just you know, go out there and have some fun and do your job.
Do you like to talk to teammates? Do you like to keep to yourself? What's that like?
No, I'm pretty open, you know. I like to talk with amongst like ourselves. We got a great team that we, you know, we can all joke around and, you know, lighten the mood up a little bit. But, you know, there's you got to keep a positive mood, and you know, that's real easy with our team. You know, with Extreme Couture and Team Tompkins, we all have the same background, and it's pretty easy with us.
Okay. For Jay, take us through the final hour. What are you thinking about? What's going through your mind?
Final hour, same, man. You know, basically it's just trying to stay relaxed, get a real, real good warm-up, blow that first wind out, and, you know, it's pretty much go time from there. All the thinking is done, you know. I've done the visualization 6 weeks, you know, leading up to the fight, so, you know, by that time I'm ready to go, you know. You know, you just got to calm your nerves because, you know, you're kind of anxious to get out there. So you just, you know, pretty much relaxing. You know, like Chris said, we all have a light mood in the back here. You know, everything's positive.
Okay.
You know, and
when do you lose that anxiousness?
You know, walking to the ring, I start feeling good. I start, you know, feeling, you know, getting ready to have a smile on my face, man. It's go time, and you know, it's bell rings, that's it. It's fight time, you know.
Okay. How about the risks? Do you ever think about the long-term risks of mixed martial arts? Does that ever cross your mind?
Nah, I just think that's all negative stuff, man. I think, you know, to be a good fighter and stay healthy, you just got to be as positive as possible. If you start thinking, oh, I'm going to get hurt or long-term risk and stuff like that, you know, it's probably going to happen. So, you know, as long as you stay positive and you know, you'll probably stay healthier in this game.
Okay, good deal. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
Great, Doug. Thank you. And now we're ready for our next caller.
Hi, it's Eddie Goldman of No Holds Barred. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good, bro. Doing good. Yourself?
Very good, very good. Let me first ask a question for Chris. Chris, initially, you were supposed to fight Wagner Fabiano, and he moved down to this new weight class for the IFL at 45. Then there was a series of opponents that came in and changed, and because of announced injuries, you're finally ending up with Ryan Schultz. How has it been preparing for a fight that just about every week and sometimes more than one time a week your opponent changes?
Well, the game plan, I really feel, it hasn't really changed too much. And stylistically, I knew about Shad Learley, you know, already, you know, a month in advance. So I was already, you know, had that knowledge. And then the switches from Gunderson to Schultz aren't really too big of a difference. Really, it doesn't really matter. It's not in my hands. I can't do anything. You know, things happen for a reason. But I'm doesn't really matter. I'm going to prove I'm, you know, I'm one of the best lightweights, you know, out there, and you're going to see that.
Now, you beat him a while ago. Do you see this fight being any different, or how do you think this might be different since he's seen you and you both seen each other in the ring?
Well, you know, it's different. Everybody matures as a fighter. He's still, you know, a super tough guy, and you can't take him lightly. And he comes, you know, he's got a family behind him, and you know, he's got a great coach with Matt Lindland, so he's not gonna, you know, lay down for anybody. So I'm always, you know, taking every opponent very, very, very seriously, and I'm prepared to the fullest, and I plan on coming out on top. I plan on the result, you know, being in my favor once again.
Okay, and a question for Jay also. When you look at Delson Heleno's record in the IFL, the only losses that he has were the one loss in a fight because of a disqualification where he broke the rules, kind of lost his head, and the other one was against a controversial decision to Antonio McKee, who also has a strong wrestling background, as you do. You said you want to keep this fight standing. What have you seen in Heleno's game so far that you think makes him most vulnerable to a standing attack?
Oh, I think, you know, he's a great fighter. I'll give him that. But I think he likes to force the takedown, and I think that'll kind of play into my advantage because I have a ton of experience in wrestling. So, I mean, that's what I mean by trying to keep you standing, by not letting them take me down and scoring the points on the feet striking. You know, so that's pretty much the game plan. But like I said, I'm well prepared to go to the ground. But, you know, I'm trying to stay out of his element as much as I can.
How much have you worked on your striking coming from a wrestling background? And especially, I mean, I grew up near Freeport High School and know what an incredible team that's been. And also Nassau Community, where you wrestled at, also was like year after year one of the top junior college teams. How have you made that transition? And also because I know you had the loss to Brad Blackburn early in the year. How much have you worked on your striking to add that to your game?
I've worked on my striking, you know, 100% since I started mixed martial arts. You know, when I started mixed martial arts, that's the first thing I started working on was my striking. You know, then came jiu-jitsu. So, you know, I've been working on my striking for about, you know, 5 years now. I actually have like 5 amateur kickboxing fights under my belt too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel my striking is just as good as anybody in the IFL. You know, I just don't really have a chance to show it that much because, basically the fight, it ends up going to the ground and I end up submission or TKO stoppage on the ground, but I feel my striking is just as good as anybody else in the IFL.
I think people are going to be real surprised when the secret comes out. Dagon Ron, stand up.
All right. Good luck to everybody. I'll see you up there December 29th.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks.
And we're ready now for our next caller.
Chris, it's Neil Davidson from the Canadian Press.
Yeah, how many opponents have you had for this fight? Is it 4? Is my arithmetic correct?
Well, the original opponent, Wagner, and then Shad, John. Yeah, it's the fourth opponent.
And when did you find out about the latest change?
A few days ago, Thursday or Friday.
And after 3 opponent changes already, what were your thoughts when you heard about the latest one?
Well, it was just to the point where let's go, you know, pick somebody. You know, it was getting hectic just because, you know, the past few days it switched, you know, the most, you know, this whole week. But I'm just glad that there's a set opponent now, and we're going towards, you know, we got a date, we got an opponent, so let's dance.
Without doing any of the replacement opponents any disrespect, does the constant stream of changes do anything to it? Kind of takes away the Grand Prix concept, does it not, when the best against best isn't happening?
Well, you got to remember, you know, it's a tough sport. You know, this sport, injuries occur very, very easily. And, you know, in the training room, that's where the fight is won. you can't expect everybody to come in healthy. The date of the fight, too, you're looking at, December 29th. That's a tight date. That's 2 weeks away, right after Christmas. So it's a tight schedule.
Has it been draining at all? And then also, I guess, to follow that up, how have you maintained your focus fighting as much as you have this year going into this fight?
Your hand is raised. Please ask your question when prompted. Press the pound sign to lower your hand.
So younger than a lot of the guys, I've been able to recover fast, and I'm just real fortunate too. I count my blessings. I haven't been really injured too badly, other than my hands. I've been pretty healthy. In terms of the opponent, like I said, I was just kind of hoping that they'd finally settle on somebody, and they did. So I'm real happy with that, and everything's a go, and let's rock.
I know that recently I saw that you had done some work with that Black Mat group. Does things like that, are they a nice distraction from the typical rigors of training?
Black Mat, I'm sorry,
I think it was called Black Mat, the nonprofit group that you guys went and trained with.
Yeah, it was really, really cool, just to help out, underprivileged kids, coming up from a tough, tough upbringing. And having their lives changed around by MMA, and it's something that's so, natural and just part of our lives. And for us to just do something so small and come out there and, help them and show them a technique or two and hang out and to see the smiles in their faces, it's a real good feeling. And, I love it. The guy that puts it on, totally non-for-profit, he's running it out of his garage. And he's helping out some of the kids in California, so that's really cool.
Cool, and not to be redundant, I mean, at this point, do you feel like, as far as this Grand Prix goes and all the changes and all the stuff that we just talked about, do you feel like it's your belt no matter what and it doesn't matter who they put in front of you?
Well, ideally, it's not going to be a cakewalk. There's no cake about it. It's going to be a tough fight, and I don't expect any lay down from Ryan Schultz. But I do expect to come out as on top and the champ.
Cool, thanks, man. I'll move on, I guess, now to Jay. Jay, you fought in a lot of big fights. You fought some really tough guys. How does this fight with Delson rank as far as an opponent for you? And then, how hyped up are you for this fight in particular?
Yeah, man, I fought a lot of tough fights. He's just another tough fight for me, but the thing is, I like these fights, and I'm ready to go, man. I'm excited. Training went very well, the past, 8 weeks of camp, no major injuries, just bumps and bruises, and just getting through this last hard week right here, and put the game face on and go out there and have some fun.
Let me ask you this. I mean, going into this fight, I know it's kind of, the team things aside, when you go into the Grand Prix, it's just you going to be out there representing yourself, I guess. Have you drawn strength from the guys that you're training with right now? I know a lot of the Couture guys are winning right and left in other organizations. Has that been something you can draw strength from?
Yeah, I think so, of course, man. If your team and your camp's doing very well, everybody must be doing something right, so... we're just following the game plan and keep training as hard as we do and training smart and everything's going well.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Scott, thanks. We'll be ready for the next call in just a second, but I want to remind folks, if you are interested in asking questions for either Chris or Jay, that you can push *1 on your keypad and you'll be queued in. Ready for the next question.
Hi, this is Stephen Mullen from the No Holds Barred Show. This is for Chris. You've moved from Boxer 10's gym over to Extreme Couture. How has that transition gone for you?
Well, it hasn't really been too big of a transition. My trainer has been Sean Tompkins from the start, and just adding Boss was just a plus to the training. But, I've always been with Sean, and Sean's my coach, so I'm just following where he, and luckily, he opened up a great, great door for us and becoming part of Extreme Couture. And so now we're at one of the best gyms in the world, and it's helping out my game and my teammates' game back in Canada.
Now, we know that this is going to go to a gym-based team system, whatever that means. Is that going to preclude you from being on Anacondas, or...?
I don't know, really, too much. I haven't looked too much into the next year. Really, it's been December 29th for myself. I hope we have the Anacondas, and I don't know, but I'm not positive. I can't really give you an answer. I don't know how it's going to be structured or how our team's going to look.
Now, you know, there's some rumblings out there. You do throw punches and bunches, and you throw beautiful combos, but there has been some people saying that you lack that finishing punch. Do you think that's a problem, and have you tried to work on basically applying more power to your punching?
Well, you know, the knockout will be there if you find it. You can't always look for it. And you know, I started off my career ending all my fights with knockouts. But just, you know, these past couple fights, I fought tough opponents, and you know, it'll come. People will recognize, you know, that that it's there.
And Jay, you know, Delson is seen as a very, very tough opponent and more of a jiu-jitsu expert. And you said you're going to keep it standing. You're going to try to keep it standing up. Are you going to try to utilize? Are you thinking that you're going to be able to utilize your wrestling more to keep him up on his feet than his jiu-jitsu to try to take you down? And if he does try to pull guard, are you going to go? Are you afraid? Are you going to go down with him, or are you going to push out?
Well, without a doubt, you know, I'm going to use my counter wrestling to try to stay on my feet. I feel my offensive wrestling is just as good as my defense, so I'm definitely looking to use my counter wrestling. And if he does plan on pulling guard, like I said, I have no problem going to the ground. I train just as much on the ground as I do everything else in my game. So, you know, I'm not really that worried about it, but it's just, you know, I don't want to, you know, be where he feels his most comfortable, and he feels, and that's where his best game is. I don't want to be down there with him doing that. You know, but if, like I said, I'm very prepared to go down there, you know, for the time that I have to be there.
Great. Thanks, both of you guys. Good luck. And that's all.
Take care, bro.
Thanks, Steve. And just a quick update that we'll be announcing at the end of this call. At 3 o'clock on Wednesday, we're going to have a call with Kurt Otto, and he'll explain more about our IFL roadmap moving forward. I'll get you guys details on that. But 3 o'clock Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on Wednesday will be a little more information on where we are moving forward with our teams, et cetera. Thank you, Stephen. Ready for our next caller.
Hey, guys. This is Ben from CagePotato.com. Thanks again for doing this for us. I have a couple of questions. The first one is for Jay and Chris. I'd like to know from both of you, since you both fought as LA Anacondas, what's the best advice or fighting tip you've ever gotten from Bathrup? Maybe we could start with Jay.
The best advice I got from Boss, actually, I tried it one time too, was, you know, when he fights, you know, he definitely gets over-aggressive, and he wants to finish fights so quick that he had to right relax on his arm. So I tried it one of my fights, and I believe it helped me out a little bit. Just you know, basically stay more relaxed out there, and you know, like Chris just said before with the knockout situation, you know, let stuff come. Don't force anything, and it will come. So
gotcha.
Yeah, and I'd have to say, you know, Boss, I really admire Boss too outside the ring. Just the type of person he is. He's got a great heart, and he really stresses, you know, balance in and out of the ring, and you know, taking your mind away from fighting when the job is done. So, you know, you train hard, and then you got to rest hard too. So I really, you know, I think that's important too.
Next question is for Chris. I know the legal drinking age in Ontario is 19. Does it bother you not being able to go out for a few cocktails with the guys in LA because the bar drinking age is 21 in the States? And also, are there any other like drawbacks being younger than anyone else to train with, that you train with and compete against?
Well, you can, you know, after the fight, you know, I'm pretty quick to go home, but I try to, you know, keep as behaved as I can
sure.
while in the States. But in terms of, you know, living, being out here in like Las Vegas or something, it makes it real easy to not get distracted. You know what I mean? It's not available to me. So back home, I can go out all the time, but I'm here, so it's just business right now. So
oh, that's cool. Well, are there any other drawbacks you see to sort of being younger than everyone else in sport that you face and train with?
No, well, not really. Like I said before, I think it's a benefit. You know, I'm just starting out. I'm not racing the clock. A lot of fighters are starting their careers and they're racing the clock to get in as many fights and do their thing before they hit their peak. So I think that's an advantage to myself, and I'm just real fortunate.
Gotcha. Just a quick final question. Have either of you had any particularly strange experience with a fan? Any death threats or marriage proposals or strangers showing up at the hotel room, anything like that?
No, I
had a fake MySpace out there of me. Some guy had my picture up and he had a fake whole MySpace set up on me, and a lot of people would come to me and be mad at me, like, I thought you were my friend, you didn't accept me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? On the MySpace. I'm like, that's not me.
Hey, that was it.
Yeah, I haven't had any too crazy fans. You know, all my fans are pretty good.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, guys.
No problem, bro.
Thanks. Appreciate
Great,
it.
Great, thanks. And we are now ready for the next caller.
Please ask your question now.
Hey, Chris, I wanted to ask you a question. By the way, this is Ariel from Jerry Park. When you first found out that you won't be fighting Wagner Fabiano, how disappointed were you? Because I think most fans were really looking forward to that fight on top of all the other fights in the finals.
Well, disappointed, yes, you know, just because of the whole Grand Prix concept. But it also opened up the doors, you know, with myself and Shad for a really, you know, exciting fight that everybody was really excited to see. You know, Wagner would have, you know, a game plan. You know, he's a very, very skilled jiu-jitsu, you know, black belt. And his game would be the one thing, and that's getting to the mat. You know, Shad's got a little bit more well-rounded and you know, he's got a chin, so it could be a little more exciting fight. But you got to take it for what it is, you know, just got to go with the flow.
So you mentioned Shad, and then you had, you know, John Gunderson, and now Ryan Schultz. Was there a point there, specifically most recently with the Schultz announcement, where you really had to pick yourself up and say, like, you know, Jesus, this is the fourth guy that I had to, you know, prepare for mentally? You go from fighting thinking that you're going to fight Fabiano, then Gunderson, and now two opponents later you're fighting Schultz. Did you have to kind of sit down and talk to yourself so that you don't get down and then work against you all these changes?
Well, the benefit too is that they also had to find out on 2 weeks. No, they knew just as much as I did, so that's a benefit. You know, it's even, and mentally, you know, they've had just as much time as I have to prepare. But the difference is that I've been preparing for the 29th of December, you know, well in advance. So, you know, like I said, I'm just keeping positive and I'm going with it, and you know, I'm taking nothing away. It's gonna be a great, great show.
After the first few injuries, did the league call you at some point and say, "Is there someone, you know, of these guys? Did they give you options as to who you'd like to fight?"
No, not really. You know, that's totally in their hands. Like I was saying, it's a tight schedule. You know, it's 2 weeks out, and you know, it's December 29th. That's a tight schedule. That's right after, you know, Christmas. So it's quite difficult, but it's a big opportunity, so you can't take nothing away.
I just wanted to finally throw out a sort of conspiracy theory that I heard and want to get your comments on it. What do you think of the thoughts that perhaps they were trying to protect you and not have you fight Wagner, you know, because you're one of the top stars, and he has great ground game, and that's why they put him down to the featherweight division and made the featherweight title. Did you ever hear of something like that, and if so, what are your thoughts?
That's the first I've heard of it. I didn't really look too much into it. I know that they were, you know, really keen on starting the 145, you know, pound weight class. And regardless, you know, the fight with Wagner, what would have happened, I still think I would have came out on top. It's a little unfortunate, just the way it is. But like I said, you know, it's really cool. We got this fight, and they're opening their doors. They're changing their concept next year. So, but I think it's going to be real well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Good luck.
No problem.
Ariel, thanks a lot. Ready for our next caller.
Mute on.
This is Nick Solomon with jobsandgrabs.com. I'd like to start with Jay, if you don't mind. Jay, you there?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Okay, not much, my man. Listen, I noticed that, you know, you and Chris are both team members of Anaconda, but then you train with Extreme Couture. So you and Ryan Schultz are probably pretty familiar with each other, too, considering that he's also with Extreme Couture. What kind of awkwardness does that lead for you, seeing the two of them fight? I mean, like, who do you root for? What do you do?
Well, first off, Ryan Schultz isn't a part of Extreme Couture. He's a part of Team Quest, actually. That's a totally different team, and that's up in, Portland, Oregon, and we're based out of Las Vegas, Nevada. So Ryan Schultz isn't a part of Extreme Couture. And Chris Hideki pretty much is a part of Extreme Couture. He's been training for the past couple of fights with every camp we've had. He's been down here, so, you know, he's definitely affiliated with Extreme Couture.
Okay. Have you had a chance to meet Ryan and train with him at all?
I haven't trained with him, but I've had a chance to meet with him. I've met with most of the fighters in the IFL. You know, beyond fighting, you know, what you see, we punching each other in the head in the ring, you know, pretty much everybody pretty much gets along. It's pretty cool, you know, but when the bell rings, you know, we try to take each other's heads off, you know, that's just part of the work schedule.
Okay. Well, let's move on to your opponent, okay?
Yeah.
Delson Aleno, he's a tough guy. Started out Valley Tudo fighting, and then, you know, he had his little thing in IFL with Dennis Hallman where he got disqualified. You're obviously a very tough man yourself, as everyone knows that. Does it ever concern you at all, like, when you're facing a guy like him who's extremely tough and has that background in Valley Tudo, that maybe he might just revert to that kind of fighting style when, and, you know, what's happened in the past, like with the situation with Hallman?
I mean, I don't really worry about that. I mean, if he wants to go outside of the rules, I mean, it's his fight to lose, you know, then that's a point for me. Or, you know, I mean, I'm not going to worry about if he's going to do illegal stuff. You know, I'm preparing for this fight within the rules. And if he wants to take it outside of the rules, that's, you know, that is his decision. You know, I can't control what he's going to do. I can only worry about what I'm going to go out and do that night.
Right. Okay. So, all right, I just want to wish you the best of luck on your fight. I think you're going to do a great job, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Chris, if we could move to you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you got a lot of people gunning for you. I mean, everybody. You're the big dog in there at such a young age, especially. I mean, and now you're fighting for the title and to keep your and to preserve your undefeated streak. Do you feel a sense of double jeopardy almost, like you have the title in your grasp, but at the same time you got to protect the streak too?
Well, no, I don't have the title.
Well, but it's in your grasp.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, I still got one more task at hand, and that task, you know, it's not an easy one by any means. And taking on a tough opponent, and I'm gonna make the best of it. I'm gonna give the fans an exciting fight, like I always try to do, and I do want that title, so I'm gonna come out on top.
Okay. It doesn't seem like there's any sort of double pressure for you.
Yeah, I gotta, you know, I just gotta keep my head straight and you know, control it. You gotta fuel off of it. You can't let it break you down. That's where great athletes, you know, they feed off the pressure and that's what needs them. So,
okay. And you're also like a really young guy, and you've managed to come so far physically and mentally in the game already. So how do you, what would you attribute that to?
Just the people that I have around me, my trainer, Sean Tompkins, you know, he's really, you know, prepared me physically and mentally, for this. The people in my team, you know, Extreme Couture, like, and the Team Tompkins, and you know, the support group that I got back home with my family and my friends, you know, they're all behind me, and they don't care if I win or lose, you know what I mean? That's a huge factor. A lot of fighters who don't have that positive support group, you know, it's tough fighting and not having people there to cheer you on and be there for you. So,
okay. You defeated him a year ago by knockout, and I know you've been preparing for this fight for a while, and now he's coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for your level of confidence going into this fight?
Well, I'm always, you know, a confident fighter, but he's coming in there with really, you know, nothing to lose. He's taking the fight on 2 weeks' notice, but I'm not gonna lay down, you know, and take it lightly. Like I said, I'm coming in. I'm prepared to the fullest, and I'm gonna give the fans an exciting show.
Okay, sure you will. Congratulations to good luck to you on your fight. And just one last question for the both of you, which is, what do either one of you feel about ProElite.com's proposal for an open association with all the other promotions out there, especially if after championship belts are awarded, the idea of champions versus champions from all different organizations?
I don't know. I think it's good, you know. Fans would like to see that. It would be a good publicity for the sport, you know, champion taking on champion. You know, I just think it would be, you know, it couldn't do anything bad to the sport.
Yeah, definitely. For the fans, it's a dream come true. You're going to see fights that potentially before weren't, you didn't see. It opens up doors for fighters, you know, financially, and I think it's great. I think it's a great idea. You're gonna see a lot more exciting fights, and you're gonna see the world's best, you know, compete. So,
okay, thanks, gentlemen. Good luck.
Take care.
Great, Nick. Thank you. We're ready for our next question. If there are any other callers that wish to queue up, just push *1 to queue in.
Hey, how are you guys doing? This is Jonathan from Total MMA.
What's up, John?
How are you doing, Jonathan?
Hey, what's up? I got a question for Jay first. Jay, you've been training with Extreme Couture. How important have the coaches there been in your development and your continued development as a fighter?
The coaches and the team, you know, it's been incredible, man. I feel blessed to be a part of Extreme Couture. And, you know, like Randy says, iron sharpens iron, man. You're only as good as your training partners, and I totally believe that. You know, everybody in the room is on the A-level professional fighting, and, you know, we only get each other better. Coaching staff is great, you know. Since Sean Tompkins became a part of it, you know, I've always felt my striking went to the next level with him, but having him around all the time, every day, is incredible.
Well, there's been quite a lot of media attention focused on Randy, like there always is. Have you guys found that to be a distraction at all in the gym, just having so many people around asking you about Randy's contract and all these other things?
Not at all, man. I mean, you know, Randy, he's a great athlete. He's a great mentor, you know. He carries himself, you know, in an incredible way. And, you know, we just try to follow behind him, man. You know, he presents himself a certain way. And, you know, I look up to him in that sense. And it hasn't been a distraction at all, you know. You know, when it's work time, you know, when I punch him in the gym, when it's work time, it's go time. You know, after that, you know, if somebody needs an interview, no problem, I could do it. But it doesn't distract us at all.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, how have you changed as a fighter since those early losses that you had in the UFC?
I mean, you know, I feel I get better. You know, every fight I think I'm a little better, but My first fight in the UFC, I don't feel I was ready for it. I feel like it was only my fourth fight, and my second fight, I got cut. You know, I was winning the whole fight and got cut. So, I mean, I feel like a totally different fighter from then, though. You know, my skills are got a whole 100% better, but definitely my mind has changed. You know, my mentality on fighting has changed. I feel 100% better mentally as a fighter, too.
And what has it meant to you guys to see that these fights are going to be on HDNet now? Is it exciting to be in front of a nationwide audience again?
Yeah, for me, it's great for it to be live. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, for me, the IFL, I wanted the fights to be live because, you know, after I fight, you know, pretty much a lot of people know what happens. So then, you know, like a couple weeks later when they show it, you know, people lose interest, you know. Rather than when it's live, you know, people are watching it. They're more interested and they want to see what happens.
All right, hey, thanks a lot. Good luck to you. I got a couple questions for Chris as well.
Yep.
Chris, you're known for your exciting fights. How important is it to you to kind of engage the crowd? Do you think about that at all?
I don't think. It's either there or it isn't, and that's really depending on the, you know, the individual. You can't take somebody and say, "Oh, I'm gonna be exciting this fight." Well, it's kind of a little difficult. It's you, it's your personality, and it's the way you control yourself in the ring. So
now, obviously, you've got great stand up. How much time have you spent preparing your ground and your takedown defense?
Well, that's been the big part of this fight. All the opponents really have a similar strategy, where, you know, they're tough, they're scrappy, but, you know, they'll be looking for a chance to get me on the mat, and you know, I've been looking at nullifying that, and you know, putting them in deep water, you know, and picking them apart.
How does it feel to be a part of Extreme Couture, have your coach go down there, and are you planning to relocate to Las Vegas permanently?
It's great. The training partners and the coaching staff, it really makes it a lot less hassle for a fighter when you have a system that people are going to tell you what to do and when to do it, you know, every day. That's key. You know, the fighters shouldn't have to think about what they're going to do for the day. They should, you know, wake up in the morning and come to the gym, period. That's it. You know, not have to think, oh, should I do this, should I do that? For having, you know, my coach, Sean Tompkins, and Randy Couture, you know, being there, it's huge. It's huge for me, and it's just going to strengthen me. In terms of moving, you know, right now, I like making the commute. I come out here for 6 weeks at a time, and you know, I enjoy that. I know where my home is. You know, I still live in Canada, but we'll see. You know, when doors open, you know, you sometimes you got to take it. So we'll definitely see. It's definitely an option that I have.
Tell me about your teammate Jay. I think a lot of people sleep on him. He's a great fighter. What do you see when you see him in the gym every day?
You know, people don't know, you know, how much Jay Hong has improved over this past year. You know, of knowing him. Like I said, me and Jay were watching one of his earlier fights, you know, from about a year ago, and it's not even the same guy. It's like black and white. He's a totally, you know, changed martial artist. You know, he's got a much more well-rounded game, and he's got striking skills that, like I said, are really going to surprise some people when he decides to use them.
All right, hey, thank you guys, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Great, thanks a lot. Well, this was great. I appreciate everybody being part of the call for today, and want to remind folks that on Wednesday, and I'll send out a reminder a bit, We'll do the IFL roadmap call with Kurt Otto, talking about things moving forward. But again, Saturday, December 29th, live on HDNet at 9:30 p.m. and also on Fox Sports World in Canada. You can see Jay Heron and Chris Horodesky in their battles for the World Grand Prix belts. We'll have five belts on the line, which is unprecedented in North America, five belts in MMA on one night. And for any of those of you who would need an audio of this call, please just send me a quick email. Or if you need any other information on Chris or Jay or anything we discussed on the call, please send me a quick email. And I appreciate everyone being on the call today. And we look forward to speaking with you on Wednesday and seeing you on the 29th. Thanks so much.